So I hope you guys are ready for that. You guys ready to get into the Word tonight? Okay, so Judges chapter 15. We're continuing looking at the life of Samson. And we've been discussing how Samson's life represents a double-minded man. You guys with me on that? Double-minded man. Now, we've been taking this from the angle and trying to get to understand how best you and I can live our life out in our Christian walk consistently. The reason that is difficult is because there are so many forces that are looking to get us off track and make things difficult for us. The reason that our life isn't a linear direction upward into the heavenlies is because there are forces that are looking to pull us out of our walk with Christ. The reason is because a walk with Christ for the believer is the absolute apex of the highest possible way a person can live their life on this earth. Devil understands as a person is truly born again that he can't do anything about the person's salvation, but he can do a lot to make sure the person doesn't enjoy the benefits, the fruits, and the power of being a believer. So with Samson, we've been looking at his life and seeing how this guy, he had religion, and he did religious things. He did had displays of power and faith in his life. In fact, we read about Samson in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the people of faith. And so he did display that. But what we see is that as God worked through him, his life took on this inconsistent quality and characteristic. And that's just my prayer and my desire as we go through this, that we can have consistent walks, that we don't continually fall prey to the ups and downs and on again, off again Christianity. And there are many snares out in front of us. There are many things there that are looking to draw us into that inconsistent type of relationship with Christ, which quite frankly gets very frustrating to the individual. And so now we're in this part in the book of Judges where we're in chapter 15. The story continues about Samson. Now let's look at verse 1. And remember, just keep in mind that this double-mindedness, the tricky thing about it, as we've been pointing out, is the fact that he was still doing religious stuff, but he was mixing it with other things. Now we've been talking about this struggle Samson had and that we all face, the struggle between God's will and our own desires. Those two are opposed to each other unless our desires are surrendered to the Lord. If our desires are surrendered to the Lord, then He gives us His desires, and then our desires are His desires. That's the beautiful thing about it. The Bible says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. The reason that happens is because when we're delighting ourselves in God, He puts in us what He wants us to do. And so we want to do what He wants us to do. That's the beautiful thing about it. It's when we have not surrendered areas of our life to God and we've decided that we're going to go it on our own, God will allow us to do that. But because we're saved doesn't mean we're rescued from the consequences of our actions of sin and our actions of going out of God's will. And that's where, as Christians, we can really begin to suffer. So, verse 1, chapter 15, after a while, Samson had this whole thing where he saw a Philistine girl, really liked her, didn't know much about her, but there's something about her that he liked her. So that's where everything started for him. It said he went down to get that Philistine girl, I think is pretty appropriate that he went down. That's what we see his life, a continual life of going downward. And as he went to get her, his parents said that, you know, you shouldn't go after a Philistine girl because, you know, the Philistines were the enemies of the Jews. And he didn't care. He just kept going on, going about doing what he's going to do. And so, long story short, he goes down there to secure his Philistine wife. And as he gets down there, he makes this deal with his groomsmen. There are about 30 groomsmen. He makes this deal. He says, if you can figure out this riddle, then I'll give you clothes. And if you can't figure it out, then you give me clothes. So he made this riddle up that had to do with him killing a lion barehanded. And then the carcass of the lion was there, and he took the honey, because there's a honeycomb that formed there, swarm of honeys. He took the honey out and he ate it. He wasn't supposed to do that because he was a Nazirite. Wasn't supposed to touch anything dead. So he gives them this riddle, and they couldn't figure it out. So the wife that he was going to marry, who was a Philistine, was threatened by the Philistines, and they said, well, if you don't tell us, we're going to burn you, basically. And so she told them. They figured out the riddle. Samson was upset that she told the riddle. So he went and killed 30 guys of the Philistines and took their clothes and gave it to the other Philistine guys. That's where we are in the story. So in verse 1 again, after a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. So they lived separately. This is the type of marriage that they would often have is they call it a visit type of marriage, to where the wife would still live with her family and the husband would come and visit occasionally, and they would do that for a certain amount of time. And a lot of it had to do with not having problems with in-laws, because the Philistines and the Jews didn't get along too well. So instead of having the problems with the in-laws, they'd have this marriage set up where she would still live with her parents. So he's coming down to visit her. But there's a little bit of a problem. If you guys remember from last time, look up a little bit in chapter 20 of chapter 14, verse 20. It says, Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. So because of Samson's actions, the father of the lady, the wife-to-be, was upset or afraid. So he had this lady that was supposed to be Samson's wife marry Samson's best man. Well, now Samson's going down to visit his young lady, his so-called wife. And as he goes down to visit her, he brings a young goat. So that would be traditional, that when you go visit your wife, you'd also bring a present to the father so that you can get in the house. And it says, he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But the father wouldn't let him do it. Verse 2, it says, the father said, boy, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. So the father now is in quite a predicament. So he's in between Samson, who he knows is very powerful and has quite an ability to hurt people and things, and the Philistines who had threatened him. So his way out is to say, well, you can't have her, but take the younger daughter instead. Well, apparently Samson wasn't too interested in the younger daughter. In verse 3, Samson says, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Okay, so now here we have the situation that we keep seeing come up with Samson, that he had an opportunity to correct earlier on. And it's really something for us that is often going to be a problem if we don't learn how to handle difficulty. That's what it is. So he's very disappointed. He's not going to have this woman who he was so concerned about, that he was really time and time again warned about his involvement with her and that he shouldn't be involved with her. But he was going to do it anyway. And here we see now, when we try to force things and we're not surrendered to God's will, we can see now we begin to strive. We begin to get into the flesh. And that's really what I've titled this section of Samson's life. It's in the spirit. In the spirit. What we see here is his determination to have his way no matter what. And it was his way wasn't going to be good either way. But we see sometimes we go get so fixed on something that we want that we go about doing whatever it takes to secure the thing that we're after. Now what we find here is what I think is really important to us is how do we deal with disappointment? How do we deal with things that don't go our way, things that don't happen the way we want to? That is really important for us because it is that disappointment and our handling disappointment which is either going to develop our character and our faith and our growth in the Lord, or it's going to absolutely break us like it did Samson. He wasn't a guy that dealt with disappointment very well. He was the type of guy that wanted what he wanted, and if he didn't get it, he was going to be very upset, and he was going to do everything he could to secure it. Now, how do we do that? Think about this. Let's bring the practical part and work itself out a little bit. How do you and I deal with disappointments? Life will give us curveballs. It'll give us things that we don't expect. We'll be in dark places. We'll be in places where we don't understand. How do we deal with that? How do we become people that actually grow in those situations instead of people who actually quit, give up, or exert the flesh and end up falling even harder? How do we do that? Well, I think the most important thing is to decide beforehand that no matter what, you're not going to give up and you're not going to quit, no matter what. When you have that, when you realize that, sometimes you can get in an area where you can get confused, not sure. But if you understand in the beginning that no matter what, I'm going to trust the Lord. I believe if you read the story of Job, you see a guy that went through more than any human being should ever have to go through. But he kept going. That was a real important factor there, that he kept going. And what kept him going was his high view of God. He had a high view of God. See, when our view, our understanding, our belief in God is low, then we think that we know better. Then we think that we have to do something to help God. And we begin to be people who now in our life take the place of God. So we almost become kind of practical atheists where we can believe God enough to be saved, but not enough everyday life to trust Him for every single thing that we need and that He knows what He's doing. So if we understand that up front, that we are all going to go through hardship, difficulties, we're going to be in tight spots, difficult places. So how do we deal with that? We deal with it by knowing up front that we are going to go through those things. And we know that as we go through those things are allowed by God in our life to develop our character, develop our faith, and to grow us as Christians. God will never allow more in our life than we have the faith to deal with. That's really good to know up front. So we have to establish that. Now, the second thing then, if we're dealing with disappointment, is to understand as we go through difficult times and we get disappointed and life is tough, that we understand that there's a deepness to our walk that will secure us in those times. And that's what's important about having a deep walk with God, a walk that can weather any storm. Because if our walk is shallow and it's based on maybe childish, immature, spiritual things to where we like God if we get what we want and we don't like Him when we don't get what we want, that type of faith is not going to make it. The Bible uses the metaphor of our roots going deep down in the Godhead. I want to show you something. If you'll just turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. I think I'm not 100% that's it, but I think it is. I hope it is. Okay, yeah, that's it. Okay, now look at this. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. This is a good one to have written down and to know. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and is whose hope is in the Lord. Now that's the condition. We're talking about dealing with disappointment. So he sets out this principle first. This is the principle that a person is blessed when he has a trust in the Lord. There's a blessing that's involved there. But then he begins to work out what he means by that. And it has to do with what we're talking about dealing with disappointment. Samson was a guy who did not deal with disappointment very well. As a result, it caused a lot of problems in his life. So, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Now watch what happens. So, here's that type of person, this metaphor. It says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. So, a person who is trusting in the Lord, who is hoping in the Lord. So their life is going to be like a plant that's constantly fed. So picture yourself the analogy of a root system in a plant that's going very deep. Isn't that the type of tree or plant that's going to be stronger and weather the storm and disappointments? That's why we're doing what we're doing here. That's why we're placing a high emphasis on getting a life that's secure and fastened in a deep way as our root system is fully in the God. So we see the metaphor here is a root system that goes down, and that root system is deep because the root system has its hope in God, has its trust in God. Now what that implies is that a root system that is in something else then becomes weaker, correct? If there's some other hope or trust that we have in our life, then now we're becoming weaker. We're now becoming people who are very vulnerable then to falling when we're disappointed. When things happen that we're not expecting or that we don't want, we're more susceptible than to falling because our root system is so shallow. So a person... And the principle is putting our hope and trust in the Lord. That person is blessed and they're secure. The reason they're blessed is because their life is constantly fed. They're planted by waters. You see that? They're constantly being fed. They're constantly, there's a life there. See, when we're cut off from the life in Christ, John chapter 15 gives us an analogy of a vine and the branches. And we're told that we are the vines, Christ is the branch, and we are being fed by Him. Our health, our life, our vigor, our passion, our power, it all is a result of our connection with the branch. And Jesus said in that, He said, if the branch, or yeah, the vine can do nothing, or the branch, I should say, could do nothing of itself. If there's a separation of our life, if we're hoping and trusting in something other than God, then there's a potential and a possibility that our life will not be rooted and grounded. So when disappointments come up, we become very susceptible. We become very vulnerable to disappointments. And so watch this now. Hang on, I lost my place there. So he says, now this is good. He says, he shall be, verse 8, like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river. So do you see the support system here? And what's the principle that's being worked out here? It's the principle of a person that puts their hope and trust in God. As they do that, now we have this working out that they're constantly being fed because Their life is in Christ. They're being fed by Christ. Christ is their strength, their joy, their all in all. Christ is feeding them, filling them. That means their life is becoming deeper, rooted and grounded in Christ, being more secure, more able to deal with disappointments. And now that root system, because it's constantly being fed, begins to spread out wider and wider. And it all has to do with the life in Christ that's based on Christ, a place where we're finding our hope and our trust in Christ. Now it's spreading out. Now as life comes to us in ways we don't expect, our roots are deep down in and things aren't bothering us. But watch what happens. It spreads out its roots by the river. It says, and will not fear when heat comes. So here's the heat, here's the pressure, here's the stress, here's the problems of the day. Now, if you were a plant that was not close to the water, and you were a plant that didn't have a widespread root system, and the water started to dry up and the heat came in, how would you be feeling about that? It's possible that many of us tonight are beginning to crack because of the pressure. We may be feeling the heat of our life, of the life of the day, and all of a sudden, because we're not fed and rooted and grounded in God and close, having our feeding on Him and the rivers bringing life into us, we're at the boiling point. We're cracking. We're drying up, and our life in Christ now becomes so dry that we begin to want to quit or give up or say it's not worth it. Do you see how that happens? But whoever is grounded in God and feeding on God, the heat comes and it's no big deal. Why? Because God is constantly feeding that person. Now watch this. It says, but its leaf will be green. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because here we have the heat coming, drying up the food sources, but the leaf is still green. The biggest things that we can fear won't have any detrimental effect on our soul and our spirit because our source is from the Lord that never dries up. See, when we get in trouble and when we get disappointed and we begin to want to give up is when we're finding something in the world that we think is going to bring us some life, some satisfaction. And we maybe begin to feed on that or trust on something else. The next thing we know, we begin to get withered up and we start to fear what can happen. Do you know how many times we make bad decisions because of things we're afraid of? Things we fear, and we maybe overreact in some areas, and we make impulse decisions because we have a fear of what may happen, a fear of what could happen. And so many times we can get ourselves in trouble because of remember what it all came back to is a hope and trust in God. And when we begin to waver in that and find our source of feeding somewhere else, then we can get afraid and fear that maybe our source of feeding will dry up and something will happen to us. But I love this metaphor because you see what it says is that no matter what goes on in the outside, the person who's feeding on the Lord and is secure in the Lord and is putting their hope and their trust in the Lord, no matter what happens outside, their leaf is still green. That means there's still life there. There's still flourishing. There's still health there. They're not sick. They're not anxious. They're not afraid because their hope and their trust is in the Lord. Now he works it out even further. And he says that person will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And so I think that is really the answer in dealing with disappointment. Turn back with me. So what that metaphor is saying there is that for you and I, no matter what really happens, that if we put all of our hope and our trust in the Lord, our life is secure. We will constantly be fed. It doesn't matter about the gas prices, who our next president will be. It doesn't matter what may happen to our economy or the mortgage rates or any of that, the war or anything, because in reality, our life is in Christ. We draw our health and our resources from Him. And, you know, we all have to be honest and say, you know, it's we all struggle. Life is very difficult. The Bible wouldn't be written the way it was written if life were easy. I don't even think in heaven we'll need Bibles. We'll know as we are known. You know, think about that. We won't need instruction. We won't need to be told how to deal with issues. The reason the Bible talks about that is because it is difficult and because we go through things and that we all can relate and understand. And the thing I love about Jesus, you know where it says, a broken reed He will not break, a smoking flax He will not quench. I love that about Jesus, that He understands our frame to where when we're struggling, He doesn't look at us and scold us and say, you're worthless, what's wrong with you? But He knows our frame. He knows what we're made of. He knows how weak we are. He knows how we struggle. And so I hope in our church we would understand that it's okay not to be okay. That should be the norm, that we're all a bunch of messed up, crazy people. Praise God that He's forgiven us, that He loves us, and He doesn't look at us when we're weak and look to break us. He doesn't take us when we're barely putting off a flame and put it out. But what He does is He fans the flame when the flame's weak. What He does is take that broken reed and puts it together and strengthens it and upholds it. And what He's saying, and I'm just going to finish with that tonight because I want to have a real good time of communion tonight. And what He's saying is that we need to be a people who come to Him. And that's what it's all about. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And I think we can all relate to that heavy laden. And you know, the Bible says that when we awake in His likeness, we will be satisfied. We'll be satisfied when we awake in His likeness. What that means is there will be a time that we will be in the kingdom of God, which means we'll be in joy, in perfect peace, in perfect love. We'll be in all that. But we're not in that right now. That's why we have to struggle to be in that condition, because that condition is available, but we don't live in it. It lives in us. You see the difference? And so that's why in this life it's a little different, because all the kingdom of God lives inside of us, but we also have the flesh constantly struggling and pulling us out of that. And so in this life, it takes focus and effort to be in fellowship with God and allow the kingdom of God to reign in our life. It doesn't just automatically happen. One day, it'll automatically happen. There will be no more tear, no more sorrow. The thing about this life is, you think about it, it's struggle. This life is struggle. I mean, the moment you're born, you get smacked on the rear end, and there it begins. You start crying, you're struggling to breathe, you're struggling to get oxygen, and then from there you struggle to eat, you struggle to walk, you struggle to be potty trained, and then that's pretty much we're struggling against gravity right now, 9.8 meters per second. This life is struggle, but that's why Jesus is so intent about saying, in Me is where you find your rest. And we would be foolish to think that we can find rest in some situation or circumstance or person and think that in a world that starts with struggle and ends in struggle, a world where we're born and we start dying the minute we're born, it's a long, slow process of dying, that we think that we can find something to bring us satisfaction. So to bring this all home, this is kind of more like a topical message, I guess, tonight, but to bring it all, the real point is dealing with disappointment. Dealing with disappointment. We begin to understand how important Christ is to us. We understand that He's our security. We begin to put our life in His hands. We begin to be secure people, secure in Him. When we begin to get outside of that and look to the world for something else, that's when our leaves starts to dry up. So tonight, as we take communion, I'd first like as the guys pass it out. Do we have any guys to pass it out here? Whoever wants dad and as they pass it out, I think it's a real good opportunity that you and I, as they're passing it out, I'd like to have a little time of reflection to where you and I can get before the Lord to confess our sins if we need to get off our chest, whatever's on our chest, to deal with God. Because I think sometimes it's just real easy to sit and hear a study and then go on and live our life and not let God minister to us. I think it's really important now that we allow God to minister to our heart and that we're reacting to Him and responsive to Him. And so maybe some of us need to repent. Maybe some of us need to confess. Maybe some of us have been worried and troubled and burdened. It's time to get rid of that. We're not to carry all that junk around. It's time to clean house and reflect and get right with God. And then as we do that, we'll have a time of worship, communion, waiting on the Lord, and just see what God's going to do with us tonight. So, Father, I thank You so much for this evening. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You how much You love us, no matter how much we mess up. I thank You that You're faithful, even though we're faithless, Lord. And Lord, we come before You as weak people, people who need help, people who struggle, people who mess up, people who aren't okay, God. And I pray that You'd begin to come and minister to us, Lord, and that now we would all just lay our burdens down. We'd confess our sins, Lord, because You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, Lord, and give us a free heart. Give us a unhindered heart, a heart that is not burdened, is a heart that's carefree, a heart that loves You, a heart that is not worrying about all the different things that we can worry about, Lord. But set us free from all that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord.